Neil Brennan is a stand-up comedian, writer, producer, and director. He co-created Chappelle's Show with Dave Chappelle. He's currently one of the writers on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. And as of today, his funny autobiographical stand-up show, Three Mics, is available on Netflix. Neil Brennan was a guest on the show for the first time when he was performing Three Mics live. Since then, he's been here for an April Fool's Day appearance and as a guest host. And frankly, we're happy for any excuse to have him back.
Leonard.
Welcome back.
Leonard, thank you for having me. You know, when I was here last time, I was in your seat. First of all, let me just say, more going on in that seat than you think as a listener. You're like spinning plates, so you really have to like sort of, it's like you have to like make sure everything's, they get thing in your ear. It's a lot happening. But even worse, when I had an on-air panic attack reading those intros, for whatever reason, I started having panic attacks about 2 weeks before I came here. And had one on the air, and it was insane, and I haven't had one since, but because I got on a medication. So anyone who heard me, thank you for your patience, and we're back, and I don't have to do the long intro.
Well, did you enjoy guest hosting?
I did, yeah, because the thing I like about the show is that you guys have great guests and good conversation. So it was, Leonard, I'm a fan.
Was it all that different from doing your own podcast, The champ,
yeah, it was very different because I had like it was worky. You're like flying a plane. You got to like pay attention to all the gauges and stuff.
So and you got to watch the clock at the same
time. You got to watch the clock. You got to do reads. You got to
split like, brain here.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long have you been working on Three Mics?
I started it a year and a half ago. The first time I did it was in LA. Then I did it in Montreal at the Just for Laughs Festival 4 or 5 times. Then I did it in LA 3 more times. Then I came here and did it at the Red Grape Theater, which you referred to as not exactly Broadway last time I was here, if you'll recall.
It's a nice little theater.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Has it changed much since you were last here?
Not really. The only thing that's changed, doing it on for Netflix, you know, it was like how to sort of scale it out because a theater show on Netflix, and I find when there's theater shows on HBO too, they just feel kind of odd. They feel too theatrical and too like you can see too much of the stage. It just feels like it feels not televisual. So I just tried to make it more. I tried to kind of bridge the gap between a stand-up special and something that was visually kind of arresting. So with the,
but not exactly a documentary.
No, exactly. But it is like how to make it more. I made the light cues bigger and more and brighter and made the because I didn't when I did the show here in New York at the Red Grave I was. Mike Birbiglia would do his show at 7:30, and then I did mine at 9:30, so I couldn't do many changes to the stage. So I just basically had to live with his stage.
Isn't the student loan stuff new since you were
yes,
here
with that him? Is. There's some new bits. There's a student loan bit that's new, and there's a bit about ISIS that is new.
You wrote that great sketch on Saturday Night Live with Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock the week after the election. Now, you had to... That was just days after the election. So.
That was that Tuesday. Okay, the Tuesday. Tuesday and Tuesday night are the big writing nights at Saturday Night Live. So I went in Tuesday. At 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, Colin Jost, one of the hosts of Weekend Update, and I were on a conference call with Frank Lutz, the pollster, and he said Hillary's going to win by 5. So that's at 5:30 in the afternoon. So
he was a Republican pollster.
Yeah. So all the things that ended up in the sketch, like there may never be another Republican candidate for president. Hillary may lose the like all those things were real conversations that we were having. Michael Che and I wrote a sketch at 9 for Weekend Update. It was going to be a Rick James Weekend Update piece. About how he was glad that Bill Clinton, I'm sorry, that he was glad that Donald Trump lost, and then he won. So then me and Che had to rewrite that sketch. We ended up not doing it. And then Wednesday morning, Colin and I wrote that election night sketch, like just in a rush of like, we should probably make fun of last night. Like the evolution of what of how that night happened, of like the slow realization.
And it turned out to be hilarious.
So yeah. Every once in a while, Leonard, I can really put some wood on the ball.
No, but since you do so many things like working with Trevor Noah, so many things that have to do with quick turnaround,
yeah.
Do you find that more satisfying than having a long time to come up with a comic bit?
It's kind of hand-to-hand combat. Like, you don't really think about it. Like, you don't really have time to think. I thought of the premise of the evolution of the night watching the returns. I thought of it on Tuesday night, and I loosely pitched it, and I don't think anyone heard me. And then Wednesday morning, I pitched it again to Joseph, and he was like, yeah, we should do that. And yeah, when you're doing these shows, it's read through for Saturday Night Live was like 3 o'clock on Wednesday PM. So me and Joe started working at like 12:30 on that sketch, and we just wrote it in like an hour and a half. The thing with sketches is once you have a premise, it's your kind of work is done. Like that's kind of 80% of it. So then it was just a matter of like putting in good beats and jokes.
Well, I'm not surprised that you're on The Daily Show because your political instincts can seem unbelievable. Didn't you write some Trump jokes for Seth Meyers when he did the political correspondence dinner in 2011?
Yeah.
And you were on the Breakfast Club, a rival radio show on February 29th last year, talking about the Donald Trump presidency. You thought there was a real possibility even then.
Well, I was telling these guys before we came on the air, you know, there's all these weird metrics of whoever sells the most Halloween masks always wins the election. There's things of like who's better looking. And I knew Trump's funny. Like it pains me to say that, but he's a funny dude. And Donald Trump's a star. I don't know how else to say it.
Like my response to that is sad. Exclamation point.
Exactly. But he is a star, meaning like, he had the number one show on TV. I believe there are certain celebrities that if they wanted to be president, there's nothing we could do about it. I think if Will Smith wanted to be president, he'd win in a landslide. I think if The Rock wanted to be president, he'd win in a landslide. I'm trying to think of who else. That's probably my list. Oprah. Oprah could win if she wanted. I think Donald Trump was on that list. I didn't think he'd ever run, and then he did, and it was like, uh-oh.
Well, the press treated Trump as a joke and has gotten a lot of laughs out of just things that he seems to be saying seriously, but that gave him a lot of publicity.
It gave him a lot of publicity. I also think that for all of our liberal patting ourselves on the back, it's an echo chamber. We're all in the echo chamber that everyone that Sam B makes fun of and Seth and Trevor and everybody makes fun of. We're all in it. So the idea that somehow we were making an impact, Seth told me that after the election was Tuesday, Seth saw John Oliver on Thursday after it, and John Oliver walked in and Seth goes, "We did it." And Oliver was like, nailed him to the cross and threw him away. Like it was all for naught. It was fun. It's fun comedy, but we're not moving the needle.
I'm speaking with Neil Brennan, whose Three Mics show has now been made into a Netflix film, available as of today.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk a bit about the Three Mics. Did it start as a single mic?
I'm a stand-ups comedian, and then I had a lot of tweets and sort of one-liners. That I'm not really like a one-liner comedian. Mine's more like premise, thought out, built up, and then I had tweets left over, and I thought it'd be fun to do like have a tweet mic. So I had that idea, and then I never did that. And then when I would do podcasts, I would talk about serious stuff, and people were like, I like that stuff you talked about, depression or whatever. I really related to it. And then I would also listen to The Moth and these kind of storytelling shows and kind of thought, I wonder if I could do that. So I thought it'd be cool to have three mics on stage, and then it was a matter of would they work in concert with each other. And thankfully, I think they did.
I saw your interview about three mics with Trevor Noah on The Daily Show. Didn't he say that he didn't realize that you'd struggle with the depression and that he had as well?
I didn't realize he struggled with depression because, I mean, I think...
Do you think maybe, that this is more common among comedians than we might think?
I think it's more common among everybody than you might think. I think it's a thing that people don't know. I think, first of all, I think for a long time in like human history, I think people just didn't. I think people would drink it away or self-medicate. Trevor was surprising because he's so cute. And he's got them dimples. So you think like there's no
that
way.
Twinkle
not
in his
you.
Eye.
Yeah, not you, pretty boy. But yeah, sure enough, him as well.
But don't most people feel ashamed about being depressed? Is there a culture of blame that?
That's the thing.
We blame the sufferer
your
of
fault.
Depression.
Yeah, it's your fault. It's
just pull yourself up by
yes,
your bootstraps.
Exactly. Which Dave Chappelle pointed out a long time ago that that's physically impossible to do. pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. That's kind of what I'm saying in the I do a monologue about depression more or less, and it's like. All the effort I put into ameliorating it, and it has worked, but it's been a long, it's ongoing, and it's a pain. It's just a pain. Like, and it's not. I'm not lazy. I'm trying to show people like, hey, I'm not a lazy. You can see I'm not a lazy. I do all this stuff. I'm not a lazy person. Trevor Noah's not a lazy guy.
It obviously doesn't turn everybody off. A caller is asking if you're married or in a relationship because she's interested.
Well, well, well. Don't mind if I do. I am right now, Trevor, I just called you Trevor, Leonard. Right now, Leonard
it's
and
the
listener.
Dimples.
right now, I am not in a relationship. But for comedy's sake, I am in a relationship, if that makes sense. I have a lot of jokes about having a girlfriend. The truth is, I don't have a girlfriend.
Do you think that talking about these things on stage is therapeutic?
I think within myself, I judge myself less. I think it's more for other people, but I think like the more I talk about depression, I got to say, I've never really felt stigmatized about having depression. I see it as like high blood pressure, one of these things that, or diabetes.
It's
or
chemical. Nothing
yeah,
you can do
it's
about
just
it.
Chemical, and I just try to fix it via other chemicals.
Many of the routines in the show about Lance Armstrong and sports and drugs aren't just funny, but also smart. And I could probably tell them, even badly, to my friends, and they would still be funny. Is that because, to some degree, you haven't developed a persona in... No, I know. I don't mean this in a negative way, but I mean I think of Rodney Dangerfield or Seinfeld.
Yeah, but you can tell Rodney jokes. Rodney jokes work.
Yeah,
like Jerry jokes. You can tell a lot of people's jokes. Like the persona is what helps in telling a joke. You may not think I have a persona. I didn't think I had a persona for a long time, and then people will go like, "That's a very Neil Brennan joke from other people," and I was like, "Oh yeah, that is true."
But you've written for other comedians and for your own act. Is it different?
Not really. I think it's more just a matter of somebody with... It's all kind of a logic-based and then extrapolating the logic. So it's just a matter of whose logic. I mean, like, Chris Rock has a certain logic. Dave has a certain logic. I have a certain... Trevor, like, there's, you know...
Do some jokes work for anyone, or do they take on a different life depending on who delivers them?
I think, like, for instance, if you look at that election night sketch... there's the wide angle of everyone talking in the room, and then the white people would say like to Latinos, and then they'd cut to a close-up of Dave sort of reacting, and that's one of those things is Dave is especially good at, like, I said a long time ago, Dave is basically Bugs Bunny. Mm-hmm. And like that's his sort of persona and his voice and stuff.
I guess what I was asking earlier about the comic persona is how much is acting involved?
Well, I think for certain people, I don't think much acting. I think it's ramping up. I think it's more like it's yourself plus. It's yourself with a lot of energy. That's sort of, or in a lot of focus and a lot of intensity.
You predicted once that Barack Obama could have a second career as a comedian.
Yeah, he could. I really believe that.
Was he funny when you talked with him?
Yeah, he was funny. He's a funny. He said Seth Meyers saw him. He was funny. He's a funny dude. Like he's smart. He likes giving people a hard time. He's confident, and he's got a point of view and a lot of experience.
Well, he did lie to me when he was on the show. While he was still a senator, and I asked him about rumors that he was thinking of running for president. He said, "Oh, I'm 48th in seniority. I'll be sharpening a lot of pencils before I ever think about running for president."
Yeah, and false humility.
A couple of months later, he announced. So what's the process now that Three Mics is available for download?
Netflix. Just if you got a Netflix account, go there, and hopefully it'll be one of the things that come up on your page. If not, just type in three M-I-C-S or Neil Brennan, N-E-A-L-B-R-E-N-N-A-N.
And are you starting to build another show?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about stand-up is I did a spot last night. You got to start from scratch, so... I think I have 11 new minutes. Uh-huh. I mean, you just go from there. It's like, all right, get back in line.
How long does it take?
I'm assuming it'll take a year for me to write another hour. Like, you just kind of, I personally can't rush it. Like, it has to come from, like, observations and then.
And if people want to see you do this, are there places you perform?
I'm at the Comedy Cellar a lot, and in New York and in L.A. I'm at the Comedy Store and the West Side Comedy Theater.
Meanwhile, I'll be looking for your jokes on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Yes.
I'll be checking out Three Mics
on
Netflix.
There's a lot of work you can do to
Neil,
pursue
thank
me.
You so much for being on our
Thanks
show.
Thanks for having me, buddy.